We open with hymn number 163.
Oh, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of Jesus, our love of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee that of thine infinite mercy thou hast instituted this thy sacrament in which we eat thy body and drink thy blood. Grant us, we beseech thee by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not receive this gift unworthily, but that we may confess our sins, remember thine agony and death, believe the forgiveness of sin, and day by day grow in faith and love, until we obtain eternal salvation through thee, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our first lesson this evening is found, the epistle lesson for this evening is found in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 23rd through the 32nd verse. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here ends the epistle lesson.
He has made his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse.
Glory to thee.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them,
Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Here ends the gospel lesson. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 164.
Grace be unto you and peace in our God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this evening is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 17th verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Here ends our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, do you know what I have done to you? Jesus asks. He asks if you know, because he knows that you are frail and that your memory is short and that you are distracted by the cares and concerns of this life. He knows that you are caught up too often in your own little world. Strife and jealousy and hatred, or even betrayal, riddle your heart. And in the midst of it, it is easy to forget what Jesus has done to you. On this night, the night when Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, Jesus did the unthinkable. He knew that his hour had come, and that this was his last Passover. He knew that Judas was already set on betraying him, even as he sat at the same table and dipped in the same dish with him. He knew the weakness of all his disciples, how petty and jealous they could be. He had just previously put down an argument among them about who would be the greater in the kingdom of heaven. And here at the supper, none of the disciples volunteered to do that customary task of washing the feet of the others, which was a common custom in those days at the beginning of a meal. For in those days, when most travel was on foot, it was a courtesy provided by the host of a feast to wash the feet of his guests. Not himself, of course, but his servants would do this for one and all. They did not eat at tables like we do, but they reclined on cushions as they ate off of a low table which was close to the ground, and therefore washing of the feet was almost a necessity. After arguing about who would be greater in the kingdom of heaven, none of the disciples thought to do the others this service. And so their feet remained unwashed, carrying the dirt of the road into the room near the food which they now reclined on the ground to eat. And so of all things, Jesus stood up, and he put on a towel, and he became the servant of his own disciples and washed their feet. "Do you know what I have done to you?" Jesus asks. Simon Peter did not understand. None of them really did, but they would know later. When Jesus came to him, Peter refused to let Jesus wash his feet. And why refuse? Because it was beneath Jesus. Jesus was teacher, rabbi. He was the Lord. He was the Son of God. How could he, their Lord and teacher, play the part of a house servant for them? But Jesus says something profound to Peter, even as he says it to you and to all the disciples who are listening. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. But then Peter, impulsive as ever, begs Jesus to wash his hands and his head. And in good humor, Jesus responds, "He who has already had a bath doesn't need to wash his whole body again, just his feet." Judas Iscariot also did not understand, and he never would. Yet our lesson calls also Judas right out at the beginning, telling us that he was what was going through the mind and heart of Jesus, that he knew his hour had come. He would leave the world. He would go to the Father. And he loved his disciples who were still here in the world. He loved them until the very end. He even loved Judas Iscariot when he knew that the devil had already possessed his heart to betray him. Jesus bent down, and he also washed the feet of Judas. And by this humble act, Jesus showed Judas how much he still loved him, how much he loved all his disciples. And yet after washing their feet, he told them all plainly, "You are clean, but not all of you. You are not all clean." For Jesus came to this world not to be served by men, but to serve men, to serve all men. He came even to love and serve his enemies. But however much he might wish to cleanse his enemies, they will not be cleansed. Their bodies and their feet may be ever so fresh and fragrant, but their hearts are black and hard. They are not clean because he has not washed them. Nevertheless, Jesus bows down to serve them all. His friends and enemies, you and I, the whole world. It must be so. For Jesus came into this world in his flesh and blood, and even in his flesh and blood, the Father had placed all things into his hands. He was the rightful king. He, the ruler of the world. And yet even in his rightful position and power, Jesus used his flesh and blood not to be served, but to become the servant of everyone. In his flesh and blood, he became poor and meek, so that we, through his poverty and meekness, might be made rich and bold to stand before our Father in heaven in righteousness. Do you know what he has done to you? He has washed you. For if he did not wash you, you could have no part with him. Peter at first refused the administrations of the Lord because he thought it so far below the office and nature of Jesus that it was offensive. But Peter, Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And by that, Jesus reminded Peter that he had already been washed by Jesus in the waters of baptism. He had already done a greater service by Jesus than anything as so small as washing his feet. Now Jesus only wished to leave the disciples this small example of humility so that they would remember how it is that they were redeemed, so that they would be kind to one another, so that they would love one another and serve each other in his love. For how could Peter refuse such a small thing from Jesus when Jesus has already done a much greater thing for Peter? And washed him of all of his sins. Which is easier, to wash off a little dirt or to cleanse the conscience from the guilt of sin? With his blood, Jesus has cleansed you all from sin. Could Peter take the greater service of Jesus and then refuse to submit to such a small thing as having his feet washed? how easy it is to get so caught up in our own sense of propriety and what is proper and fitting for Jesus, the great God and King of salvation, to say how it is that he must serve us in such small matters when he has already accomplished the great and mighty task of our salvation. We call him Savior, after all. But if he is our Savior, then his service to us has gone far, far beyond the trivial matters of providing our daily bread, or soundness of body, or the strength to breathe and live another day. He has poured out his blood unto death. He has given his body to be nailed to a cross and placed in a grave. He gave up any control over his own body and soul, even enduring the pains of eternal death, separation from his Father in heaven as he suffered. And how then, if he has served us in such an extraordinary manner, could we refuse his service through the simple things of this world? How could we refuse the gifts which he continues to offer us even after he has redeemed our soul from death? Therefore, thereafter, he offers his disciples in that same supper his body and his blood in bread and wine. How could they refuse this service from their Lord? When Jesus washed Peter's feet, that was all he did. He washed his dusty feet. Such a simple thing to do. So far below his esteemed position, and yet he does it willingly. When Jesus on that same night chose to take such simple things as bread and wine and to give to them the astounding gift of his body and blood, even then, how simple it must be for Jesus, who is Lord of all, to serve us in this most extraordinary way. He has already done us the far greater service of dying on the cross for our sins. He has washed you in his death and resurrection in the waters of baptism. And he has given his body and blood on the cross. If you gladly receive that great sacrifice, how could you refuse to receive him also in this seemingly humble and yet extraordinary way? During the Reformation, when Zwingli was grasping, trying to understand the gifts of the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, he said that it was not fitting for Jesus to stoop down so low in all of his divine might and power as to put his body and blood into such a thing as earthly bread and wine. How dare Jesus stoop down from heaven to serve you? And his unwitting associate, John Calvin, agreed, solemnly asserting that the infinite God could not possibly contain himself in such finite elements of bread and wine. But in so doing, they were playing the part of Peter, saying to the Lord Jesus, "You, Lord, shall not serve me in such a humble, unfitting manner. It is not right that you should do this." But to them, and to us, who might still imagine how it is that Jesus could come down among us still and wash not just our feet, but our conscience, and cleanse it from sin with his body and blood, which we eat and drink in bread and wine, Jesus answers, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Do you know what Jesus has done to you as he serves you still in his supper? Do you really think it's strange that the same Lord who would pour out his body and blood into the sufferings of hell and cry out that it is finished when he had completely atoned for your sins, that now he would desire to continue to serve you with the fruits of his great sacrifice? It is no strange thing at all for our Lord, because having loved his own, he loves them to the end. And our end has not yet come in this life. And so our Lord continues to love us, and to show us his love in this his service to us of his supper. On this night, when we remember that soon our Lord Jesus would know his great anguish of soul, his betrayal, his denial, his mockery at the hands of sinful men, and finally his abandonment by the Father himself, Let us gladly receive this gift which he entrusted to us, his church on earth, so that the benefits of his passion might always be with us and in us. Jesus has washed you. You have a part with him in eternity. Therefore, let him now serve you with his body and blood in time. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give thee hearty thanks that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast for our good instituted the blessed sacrament of the Holy Supper, wherein under the consecrated bread and wine he truly gives us his body and blood to eat, his body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. And we beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that we may at all times be truly worthy and well prepared to receive this gift and order our lives aright until we finally obtain eternal salvation. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 313.
Oh, Lord, we praise you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should in all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.